Hello, and welcome to Cult Picks Radio, WCPX 66.6, on your pod dial. With me, your host, your friend, your father confessor, Django Nudo.
And me, the smart peddler, happy continuation of the new year, as we say in Sweden.
Yes, happy, happy 2022. Do we have to do the obligatory thing of talking about what we did over the holidays?
Yes, we had some R&R so we can take on the new year with full strength.
True. We kept the Cultmas Badvent calendar going all the way up until the 25th with a wonderful double whammy for the 24th and 25th. Although people are probably sick of Christmas, but with the Christmas specials from Something Weird. And the first week of the new year was planning, conspiring, looking ahead to 2022, everything that we're going to be doing on Cult Picks and more, which was very exciting.
Indeed. We have plans all the way, almost up until summer, I think.
Yeah, definitely up until the anniversary of launch. You know, it's been 9 months and we're getting fast. And the biggest, I think, event of the 2022 so far is that you quit your day job.
Yeah, you know what they say, don't quit your day job if you're not talented enough, but we'll see where it leads to. But yeah, sure enough, I will dedicate about 110% of my waking hours to Cult Picks. So yeah. Expect some great things happening just because I can put all the extra hours into it.
Yeah. And your 50% is more people's 100%, not to brown nose
Thank
anything.
You very
but
much.
Yeah, you do have a lot of energy. So having you full time working on this, and it's going to be really, really exciting. And judging from where we started, like I said, great things for the new year.
Yeah, and of course we have our intern, the Chilean, and then we have our new friend, the Vronkov, coming in.
Yes,
helping us out. Yeah,
That should be good.
We have strength in numbers now.
Yep, and definitely more people coming on board as we do this. We've got version 3.0 of the website itself coming out of Cult Picks, which is going to have lots of cool new features and improvements. Things like being able to leave a review or comment underneath each film. That's going to be interesting,
which is part of our idea of a film community, of course.
Yep, community building. There's going to be apps. Definitely planning on a Roku app, hopefully Android and iOS, subject to the App Store approval. And pretty cool that we'll be integrating with the kind of online film recommendation or film finding sites, Just Watch and Play Pilot and Letterboxd.
Yes. Yes.
Because people have been asking about that. And you know, lots of under the hood kind of changes, I think, including a section where people can watch films for free. So we'll be putting out a limited selection of films, so entice people to get hooked and join
a little
the cult.
Bit of teaser.
Yeah, a bit of a teaser. Yeah. And a shitload of new films is the only way, I think, to put it.
Definitely. I mean, we have plotted some pretty funny, funky, thematic weeks that we will have both, you know, at least, I don't know, 5 to 10 new films per week for those themes. And also these are the things that we will talk about in the podcast.
Yes. Do we want to give away any of the topics now? Kind of tease people with them?
Yeah, let's tempt them.
Mm. We're going to have a big Mondo thing, I know.
Oh, yeah. I think we have 20 Mondo movies.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, as you know, probably started by the Italians in the early 60s with the film Mondocane, hence the moniker. But they made them in Italy, they made them in the US foremost, and there's tons of them.
And we already have some on the site, but we're going to be getting lots more. We're going to be highlighting special people like David F. Friedman and Uschi Dygaard.
Yeah, Lee Frost.
Lee Frost is another one. And then funny subjects like girls in fur bikinis or women in prison.
Vampires.
Sexy vampires, yes.
Mm. Bikers. Sexy bikers.
Sexy biker vampires with Uschi Dygaard.
And we can say that a lot of the films are courtesy of Something Weird Video and Lisa Petrucci. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you. But we're also in discussion with several other companies, as we keep saying, and we've been adding and will be adding shortly some of those. And of course,
yeah,
not forgetting our good friend Simone.
Ciao, Simone. Ciao, Simone. Yes, we are closing deals with a number of major distributors in other countries. So we are very excited, and we will obviously come up with breaking news as we sign those deals.
Yes, follow us on the usual social media. Yeah. Last but not least, very important, it's not just happening in online, is it?
No, we are very much about people meeting each other if they're allowed to. Mm-hmm. And we know there are some problems with that right now, but at least for Sweden, you are able to go to cinemas with some limitations, and have just started cooperating with Klara Biografen, the Klara Cinema at the Culture House in Stockholm.
Which is probably the hippest cinema in central Stockholm, I'd say, in terms of programming and location. And
yeah, it doesn't get more central than that.
No, it doesn't.
For sure. And we will have three Swedish themes there. On the 30th of January, we are starting up with the Swedish cult horror movie, Besökarna, The Visitors.
Mm.
Very excited about that. Completely refurbished, I'm supposed to say. No, but restored by the Swedish Film Institute. So
yes.
This will be the world premiere of that new print.
The first time it's seen on the big screen, indeed.
Yes.
And to be followed by the famous Swedish 80s slasher film, Blöderen, The Bleeder.
Yes, by Hans Hartvig. And we will have the Bleeder himself, Åke Eriksson, one of Sweden's best percussionists, drummers.
Uh-huh.
He'll be there, as well as the all-girl band who are the victims in the film.
Yes. Come and get your autograph.
Yep, so that's good news.
Or selfie.
Very good news.
If you're a millennial.
And then there are UK plans?
Yes, we'll definitely be doing something in the UK. We haven't finally signed anything, but one of the things we're looking at or thinking about, and this isn't just UK, is looking at diving into our 35mm film collection, because film is the new vinyl. And not forgetting, finally, our good friends at Bio Aspen, where we will continue showing films as well.
Indeed. And there we will have an international theme with some pretty exciting films. So we will come back on that subject.
Definitely. More plugs in future episodes.
Yeah. Oh, and also, not to forget, we will have some screenings at Bio Spegeln in Malmö and Bio Roy in Gothenburg as well, in Sweden.
And who knows so what that's other all good. Cities we might be popping up with. But
Yep.
That's an extended plug for Cult Picks events, updates, films, and more in 2022. But now, shortly, we're about to switch to what I think is our first ever proper retrospective on Cult Picks. You know, we featured themes like Stellan Skarsgård in The Nude and Mac Ahlberg and so on, but I'd say this is the first formal kind of retrospective. So why don't we let the director of one of her films introduce it?
Let's see here. Let me give you a good joke here. What do both wear and the walrus have in common?
What's that?
Both like a tight seal. Hear about the queer Indian? Brave sucker. Okay. Now what you've all been waiting for, the feature of our show, Miss Kitten Navidad.
Feliz Natividad.
Yes, indeed. That's a very, very convenient name coming after Christmas, for sure.
It is indeed. And as you know by now, this is, of course, the one, the only, Francesca Kitten Natividad.
Indeed.
Actress, a burlesque star, personality, best known for two reasons, but we're going to try to widen the appreciation for her in this podcast, as we've done in this film season. And really because having always been a fan of hers for as long as I can remember, you know, this really highlights much more to her, makes her more three-dimensional, if you'll excuse the pun.
Yeah,
because she
a career that sticks out.
It is indeed. obviously best known for her magnificent breasts, but more than a big breast, she had huge talent, a big personality, and really good comedic timing. And that's one of the things I wanted to highlight when we put together, because it's been running over 2 weeks, the theme week of Funny Sex Kitten Natividad. And it's structured in such a way that the first week was really a look at her humor and, you know, the kind of more comedies before we went into the more sexy stuff, the, you know, softcore and the hardcore stuff. Although she always mixed the funny with the sexy and the sexy with the funny.
I never wanted to take myself serious. And so a lot of people made fun of my body because I had big tits. So I would make fun of them first before they did.
Yeah, but I think that the comedies also struck a note with our viewers, because a lot of people were like, oh yeah, 80s comedies, we love that.
Yes, we had no idea that, you know, yeah, 80s Police Academy knockoffs would revive such strong memories.
As if not Police Academy itself was bad enough.
No, and some of these the rip-offs. Films, yeah, make Police Academy seem like Citizen Kane, I think the one the reviews was. But But returning to Francesca Isabel Natividad, quick bio. She was born in 1948 in Ciudad Juarez in Chihuahua state. That's the dog state in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Big family. And she didn't even speak English until she was 10 years old, which is pretty incredible.
That's right.
Yeah, because, you know, she's got a wonderful voice and not a hint of an accent.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she moved from Mexico to Texas, where she, you know, by all means excelled. Apparently, she was a senior class president. And then her onstage career took off as a burlesque dancer. And it's really worth emphasizing that, you know, she wasn't a stripper. She really was a burlesque star. Now, that does involve disrobing and showing your, you know, body.
Yeah, and also in the late 60s, it was more of go-go dancing.
Yeah, it was go-go dancing, and it wasn't this new burlesque that we have now with...
No, which is, like, ironic.
Yeah, this was authentic, raunchy, and above all, what I hadn't appreciated it until I heard on her podcast, which she did, and we'll be playing several clips from it, because it's a wonderful podcast in terms of giving insights into her life and her career, is that just what a hard work it was. I mean, now you'd have burlesque stars go up there for maybe do a 5-10 minute single dance. She used to be up there on stage for a good 50 minutes.
Oh, God.
And if you see some of the clips in the films that we have, you know, this wasn't just some swaying the hips and sort of shaking the titties. This was, you know, workout level, hard, really, really hard stuff. So she was well fit, as we say. Now, Kitten, as she was known because of allegedly her shyness initially on stage, Kitten Natividad is best known and associated with what director, Smart Peddler?
With Russ Meyer.
As a matter of fact, I was dancing with one of his stars at the Classic Cat. Her name was Shari Eubanks, who was the star of Vixen, Super Vixen.
Oh, cool.
And he came to see her, and he looked at me, and I knew he would like me. And so I rubbed my breast against his back, and he goes, ooh,
I'm going to marry you.
I was married to my manager, and my manager says, she's your kind of girl. He goes, yes, she is. And he put me in two films, and then we fell in love, and I left my manager. Big mistake. I mean, I've done a lot of big mistakes, but you know what? They were only mistakes for one step up. And sometimes in life, you have to give up so much. But it's because of the passion you have for your art.
And he hired her to narrate his movie Up. And he was so impressed by her that he wanted to have her in the lead part of his next movie, Beneath the Valley of the Ultra Vixens.
Yes. I love the fact that, you know, she was hired for a voice for the first film that she did with him. And then went on to become, I mean, it's the iconic poster of her as well. That really made her. However, we don't have any Russ Meyer films. We hope, in fact, nobody has them, as far as I know, for Blu-ray and so on.
Yes, it's a mess copyright-wise, and I know a lot of people have been struggling to get the rights, but it's very hard.
Yeah. So one day, hopefully, we'll have them. But in the meantime, we've selected and found quite a few other ones, films where she's both sometimes cameo, sometimes the lead. So why don't we begin with the first film she actually did, which was from before the Russ Meyer days, and it was Deep Jaws, 1976. And at this stage, we should probably also thank Vinegar Syndrome, who have very kindly shared with us four of the films in the kitten season. And this Indeed. Being one of them, it was originally yep. Something Weird, and now it's Vinegar Syndrome. So, very good film. Deep Jaws. Can you guess, or do you know where the name comes from?
Yes, I know it's a very interesting idea to mix Deep Throat with Jaws, the big successes of a couple of years between them.
I mean, if there's one creature on God's green earth and wet earth you would not want a fellatio with, you know, it would surely be in the deep throat of a shark.
Yep.
Doesn't quite work, but anyway, Deep Jaws. So
yeah.
Basic premise of is this failing studio, Uranus Films.
Of course.
Has this scheme for getting money out of the U.S. government, which was supposed to be spent on something to do with American-Soviet cosmonaut space exploration, and instead they want to do a sexploitation mermaid film. Of course they do.
Of course they do, yes.
And so it's all about, the zany goings on around the making of this would-be film. So, you know, 70s disaster films, sex films, all in one. And
yeah, and also with some stars that we know from other great movies like Candy Samples, and also our friend Harry yes. Reams, who made two movies in Sweden.
Yes, both of which are on Cult Picks.
Indeed.
SS Operation Wolf Cub and...
Well, and then there are three, because it's SS Operation Wolf Cub, it's Bellamy, and it's Justine and Juliette.
Justine and Juliette, indeed, yeah. Yes. And this film is interesting in that it's kind of a precursor or similar in terms of the thinking to another film we've been trying to get hold of, but we can't find the rights holder, the first nudie musical, which was made by Paramount, but Paramount have let it go and... not sure where it's ended up now in the copyright limbo. So if anybody knows of it, do get in touch with us.
Yeah, we'd love to have that.
Yeah. So shall we have a listen to a clip from Deep Jaws?
Oh, shit, I can't get it in.
Oh, here. Let me help you.
No, I want to do it myself.
Are you using both hands?
Of course. You ever hear of anybody trying to put it in with only one?
I'm only trying to be helpful.
After Deep Jaws, and she made the Russ Meyer's films... Then came a time in the late 70s when she was involved in two out of three films that form a kind of a trilogy of softcore comedy, Taking It Off, Taking It All Off, and then Party Favors.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting, the plot of it, because in some ways it mirrors the reality that Kitten was facing, in that she plays a stripper called Betty Big Ones. Arf, who wants to be a serious actress, but her agent tells her that it's her large boobs that are keeping her from getting these kind of serious parts in films.
Hmm.
And so the whole film is about how she can do various things, you know, work out hypnotism, very thing to try to shrink her boobs, perish the thought, so she can get these acting parts. Whereas, of course, in real life... she did cross over from the kind of softcore and later also hardcore into mainstream comedies, as we will hear later. She didn't, and television as well. And she never landed the really big parts. And again, probably because she was stereotyped and because the first thing you notice about her are her mammaries.
Yes, but also it gave her a roof over her head and food on the table, I guess.
Yes. Oh, and she never complained about it. So back to taking it off and taking it all off. So again, really just an excuse for, getting lots of actresses, not just Kitten, to display their stuff. But, you know, as far as softcore, cheesy kind of comedy goes, it's not a bad one. And, you know, same with Taking It All Off, the sequel, where they actually recycle some of the best jokes and scenes with Kitten, including the zucchini joke, we should play that because you don't get the full benefit of it listening to it, but you'll definitely get an idea of why you should watch it.
Now, I'm supposed to have leafy green vegetables all day tomorrow.
Well, I got celery, spinach, lettuce.
That sounds so boring. Show me your zucchini.
You want zucchini? Well, I got your zucchini, honey, right here.
Oh, that's a nice zucchini. Kind of skinny, but it's long enough and firm enough to do the job.
I'll bring it over tonight.
Yoo-hoo, Edna, come here and look at this man's zucchini.
And the plot, or what there is of a plot in the sequel, Taking It All Off, is follow up with the same kind of striptease club, but now it's a striptease academy of teaching future strippers. And the Betty Big Ones character, Kitten, is back, and she's going to help a newcomer, Allison, to get rid of her shyness and get rid of her clothes by doing hypnotism. Wow. Unfortunately, the hypnotism is triggered by the playing of a particular song. And wouldn't you know it, this song gets played over and over, and she hears it constantly and always feels compelled to strip off whenever she does so.
And it happens to be the theme song of the movie.
And it happens to be a theme song. You know, what are the odds of that? Impressive is, you know, Kitten was already kind of approaching her 40s when she did it, and she still, you know, looks amazing and keeping up with the best of the other young strippers. So I think burlesque stars really need to have an amazing constitution and stamina, or at least she did. So
yeah, for sure.
And that kind of constitution and fitness came into play in a film which was the first ever Kitten film we had on Cult Picks, which was Eroticize from 1983, if you remember that.
This amazing theme that you concocted with the different workout videos following Jane Fonda's success.
Yes, everybody from, you know, Tracy Lords to Dancing Grannies. But yeah. Kitten jumped on this trend with Eroticize from 1983. There's no dialogue and there's only cheesy synthesizer music, as there was at the time. But the good news is that as part of the Kitten season, we've been able to track down the entire film. So previously, we only had a 20-minute clip from it. Now we have the full 60-minute version. So feast your eyes and work your thighs.
Who can live Kitten without it?
For 60 minutes with Kitten and her girlfriend.
Wow, yeah.
Which brings us to the early 1980s, time of cheesy comedies, and two films in which Kitten only has a small part to play. More of a cameo, really. But like you said, these were incredibly popular amongst our members, who obviously are starved for Police Academy knockoffs. mossed it from glorious VHS. I mean, they are so great that nobody even saw fit to put out a Blu-ray, let alone, I think, a half-decent DVD of them. So,
yeah, there are no UHD restorations of them out there.
No, no. So apologies for the quality, but folks, this is the best thing that we could find for you. So why don't we play a little clip from one of them just to give people an idea of what it was that they were missing.
Will those expecting a visit from a criminal lawyer please come to the visiting area immediately? Those expecting honest lawyers can also come.
This is a classic case of a miscarriage of justice.
Great.
I've never seen anything like this in all my months as an attorney. I tell you, it's an open...
So, Smut Peter, I know that you have the collected and the full Police Academy in your, you know, cabinet or collection. So
yes, the whole septology. Sounds like something you dirty. Yeah. Yes, I found all of them in a flea market. Very happy. And I used to go and watch them in cinemas, but mostly alone. So I don't think they were hugely popular in Sweden.
No, but you know, they definitely left a mark on film history, not in terms of...
I love the first ones, and obviously a lot of the actors, some of the actors actually come back in these knockoffs.
Yes, they do, and some of them were produced by the same teams. And obviously they needed to have celebrity cameos, so you get people popping up like Muhammad Ali for in a kind of blink and you miss him, and they go for certain, you know, stereotypes. Richard Mulligan in one of them, I think, was he in Naked Gun as well? Or
I think so, yes.
They cross over, but sadly no Bobcat Goldthwait, my favorite.
No. But incredibly enough, I noticed that Linda Blair from The Exorcist was in Night Patrol.
Yes, and it was
she won an award.
She won an award-winning performance from Linda Blair. Do you want to share, you know, which distinction?
Yes,
was it the
Screen Actor Guild? It was not any award. It was the Razzie Award.
For Worst Actress of 1985.
And we all know what that is.
Poor Linda. Yeah. You know, she does her best in this film, definitely. Yeah. And it's not like she's giving. But interestingly, Night Patrol is also one of the few films in our collection that is directed by a woman. Not that it should matter hugely, but yes, it was by Jackie Kong. And in terms of other notable things about it, it's got a very young Andrew Dice Clay in a cameo, and Pat Morita, very strange.
From Karate Kid.
Yes. Yeah. Strangely playing a rape victim.
Oh, God. Okay. Yes. Have to watch it.
Yeah. Now, before we do that, be warned, though, reviews from the time weren't exactly showering it with praise. Vincent Grouch Canby of New York Times actually liked it, and he said, though the humor is strictly for the stag party crowd, which isn't discriminating, the performances have a good low burlesque style to them. Get it? Yeah, burlesque. So maybe it was
recognized. I can go for that.
Yeah. Yep. Although TV Guide was much more harsh when they said, this police comedy does the impossible. It makes Police Academy look like a piece of sophisticated humor.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Yeah, very harsh. So, but hey, our members loved it. So who are we to argue with it?
Exactly.
And then there is, you know, Due in Time. Oh, I should say one thing about Night Patrol. We don't really go into the plot, but it features about, you know, a policeman who also wants to be a comedian. So he performs with a paper bag over his head. And this was actually a real comedian who played the part. And that was his shtick as the unknown comic, Murray Langston.
That's fun.
That was his real life persona. I was thinking, did this anticipate, not that I watched these reality TV shows, but The Masked Singer, you know, surely there's going to be, you know, a stand-up comedian version with comedians with paper bags on their heads. Yeah. How you cannot recognize them by the voice, I don't know. But hey, that's why I don't watch these things.
Well, if they can't recognize Superman when he wears glasses, anything can happen, you know.
moving swiftly on to doing time. Which is...
And there you have actually the chief of police in the Police Academy films, Richard Mulligan, is here, the warden of the prison.
Exactly. The John Dillinger prison. Great name. Mm-hmm. So, Police Academy behind bars. Effectively.
It's crazy.
We've got a bunch of other, you know, semi-famous faces that you might want to recognize or not. Again, Kitten doing little more than being arrested and obviously showing off her delights. But again, it shows that she was part of the kind of comedy cinema landscape of the early 1980s and definitely contributing to that kind of, you know, burlesque humor and energy, you know, that she brought with it. She talked about it on the podcast, and she said it was a big transition for her to go from burlesque to filming because of the lack of the kind of feedback. Because as a burlesque performer on stage, you know, she was getting the whistles, you know, the wolf calls, you know, the the audience appreciation, and then you go into filming, and all you get is cut. And she said, you know, where are my applause? Not that she was vain, but, you know, she was a performer, a live performer at heart. So
yeah, she would have needed like canned laughter that they had in the TV shows back in the
day. Yes, which, funnily enough, we'll get to. The film with probably, I would say, low budget, but still kind of slick looks of it, is My Tutor, not My Teacher, as I called it, which is a Risky Business knockoff with another Cult Pics connection.
Yeah, it's our friend, the Swedish director, Mac Ahlberg, who was also a DOP of a bunch of Hollywood movies.
Mm. And it is shot, I have to say, quite gorgeously and, you know, competently. So we must never forget what a good director of photography he was, in addition to plain director.
Sure.
So this is high school, teenage comedy, lose your virginity, frat boy kind of territory. It's directed by George Bowers, and it's about a high school graduate who fails his French exams, so he can't get into Yale, which means that his daddy is very annoyed and hires a super attractive tutor to help Bobby out over the summer and so he can pass his exams. But of course, Bobby and his friends are more intent on losing their virginity, which leads to all sorts of shenanigans and adventures.
And yes, and a completely overacting, as per usual, Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover, yes, his first role, but, you know, very interesting to see, because I'm sure that it was this film that probably then gave him the role of Marty McFly's father in Back to the Future, which was only would have been done only a few years after it. Anyway, Kitten pops up in one scene of the film, and she doesn't have much to say because she is one of the madams who are paid to help the boys lose their virginity. The Crispin scene, which plays out in parallel, is almost more funny because all that happens is he falls asleep on Kitten's pillows, which, as if you would do that.
Just a little bit further up. Just, Bambino, just a little bit up. Oh. Bambino, wake up. Wake up.
Oh. In other interesting facts about the film, and again, Kitten only has a small part, but she does it very well. Worth watching just for her. The lead, Matt Latanzi, who is supposed to portray a, you know, teenager who can't lose his virginity. In real life, he was in a relationship with Olivia Newton-John, and they would go on to marry the following year and getting divorced 11 years later. So, you know, he has a six-pack, but he can't lose his virginity. You know, who says that Hollywood is unrealistic?
Could be. Could happen.
Yeah. Anyway, what's interesting about Kitten more is about how she got involved or how she got cast in the film. And she gave an interview where she talked about it, and she says that the producers came into the Body Shop, which was, of course, the club where she did her burlesque work in Los Angeles for many, many years, and they were looking for girls that didn't mind taking their clothes off. And she says, nowadays, the big stars will take their clothes off, but in those days, stars would go, oh, no, I'm an actress. I don't do nude. in a British voice. So they would go to the strip joints where women didn't have any qualms about it. They would go there and they'd usually select me being Kitten. So
perfect.
But she's good in it. Great disrobing scene. It's also the only nude scene by the female lead, the French tutor, Karen Kay, who's a very good comedic actress, and she did a lot of work in television, and she never quite took off in films. This could have been her big break, but it obviously wasn't big enough. So whereas Crispin Glover went on to become George McFly, Karen Kay kind of faded away from the scene. But she is good in it.
Yeah.
So let's move on swiftly to Kitten's television outings with The New Adventures of Bean Baxter.
They're partying in my pumpkin patch. Can you believe this? Hundreds of stomping on my precious pumpkins.
Tonight, you shall have your revenge, pumpkin princess.
Call me Pumpkin. Thank you, Mr. Sue Baby, for breaking me out.
Your techniques in combining black magic and modern science may prove invaluable to me and my, shall we say, future plan.
So that was Kitten as the Pumpkin Princess. And you should really watch it just for her outfit. It's kind of purplish Halloween goblins, bra, bustier, and spiky 80s hair as if she was from some Mötley Crüe video, music video.
Yeah, it looked pretty heavy, hairy metal style.
Did you recognize the voice or even the face of Mr. Sue?
No.
Who she was talking to?
No.
Kurtwood Smith, who you'd probably recognize because he's been popping up as baddie in all sorts of 80s, especially 80s films. So he was Clarence Boddicker in RoboCop, and he was in Rambo 3, and most people probably remember him from that 70s show. But yeah, so he was the villain in this short-lived Fox series about a teenage super-secret agent. And I just love the fact that you know, Kitten would get the roles in these kind of super mainstream TV shows, and yet she would still be allowed to kind of showcase her ample talents. Obviously, nothing came off, but it's not as if they were, you know, hiding what it was that made them want to cast her.
Of course,
in these films.
Course.
So
yeah,
and as you can tell, she brought real humor and you know, fun to the role. So I know that she did a lot of game shows and other things, but, you know, she definitely could have done even more if, you know, her two main assets hadn't probably gotten in the way and kind of prejudice. But
yeah,
she was pretty cool about it. Now we move on off to having done a teenage TV television series, we now move on to the adult, distinctly adult phase of Kitten at Tavidad's career. And section two parts, because we end in the 1990, as we do at Cult Picks. So we don't actually go into her hardcore period, because she did start to do hardcore films as well. And she's open in the podcast about the fact that she had drugs and alcoholism problem, which coincided with her kind of hardcore work.
I've always loved burlesque, and I knew that I was good at it, and I could always come back. But I always thought there's got to be more. So I wanted to do films. And I'm one of the few X-rated that crossed to TV and all that. Everything was going beautiful. And I had a charmed life. And then I met a drug dealer.
She doesn't shy away from it. And in fact, she said she would have been happy to try it earlier. Just unfortunate that it coincided with this time in her life when she was obviously having a bit of a low. So we're starting off. So she doesn't actually, there is hardcore in these films, but it doesn't involve Kitten, although she does have a girl on girl scene in one of the last films.
I'll tell you what made me a bigger star than anything. And your Harry Pyro told me this, and he has lots of my magazines. He says, what really made you Kitten wasn't Russ or burlesque, it was porn.
So how did you get into porn? When did you get into porn?
They came to me.
Of course they did.
They would ask me, and my husband wouldn't allow it. So I would do little cameos or girl on girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when I got divorced, I did it. Whatever. I did the fucking suck.
But we'll start with Eat at the Blue Fox, which, again, we have to thank Vinegar Syndrome for very kindly letting us have these films. And what can we say about it? It's based on a very famous nightclub south of the border in Mexico, where Ron Jeremy, who pops up in a few of these films, plays Rick. I wonder where they got the name from, of a nightclub run by Rick.
I have a hunch, yeah.
Yeah. And it is famous for the donkey act. They don't actually show the donkey act because there are limits to even what they would do on Triple X there.
Mm-hmm. But that's what they did on the south of the border, wasn't it?
Apparently, anything goes, yeah. Mm. And the other thing we should mention about south of the border is Kitten was one of the first actresses to get silicone implants because they were illegal in the US at the time. But her agent advised her to go south of the border to Tijuana.
In 69. Yeah.
And she had it done there. And of course, there's a bit of a sad thing to that, as we find out later on. But
yeah. Definitely, yeah.
In the meantime, so Eat at the Blue Fox, which, you know, is about a corrupt sheriff who wants the biggest slice of the cake and bribery and the problems that ensue. Mm-hmm. We've got some great other, you know, actors from the golden age of porn at this time. Pamela Mann, Herschel Savage, Desiree Lane, and of course, Kitten.
Yep.
Who was probably the only one originally from south of the border there.
Hi, can I help you boys? You need anything?
Well, honey, ma'am, I'd like to try one of them $3 blowjobs.
$3 blowjob? You gotta be kidding. I don't move my upper lip for nothing less than 50.
Oh. Well, it looks like we're sleeping alone tonight, Rex. Alone again, naturally.
So, from Donkey Shenanigans south of the border to Agatha Christie spoofs.
That's not so common in adult movies, is it?
No, I think there was another knockoff of this, but, you know, hey, stiffs, you can have a lot of, you know, fun with a bird play on that one.
Sure, definitely.
In this case, it's 10 Little Maidens, based on the Agatha Christie novel that was eventually renamed as And Then There Were None, before that known as 10 Little...
Indians, I think.
Yes, and before that, 10 Little... offensive word. And it starts off with Kitten playing peekaboo on her neighbors, who then get an invitation in the mail from, I think it's the United Nations, inviting them to this island where there are mysterious islands, sort of orgies. And it's got some very silly narration at the beginning, saying something like, the erotic instinct is basic to human nature and will always be, no matter what established religion has to say on the matter. So it's a bit of anti-moral majority.
Yeah. And I must say the cast is every name is a huge name from that specific adult era. So can I say the names?
Do it. Go for it.
Harry Reams, again. Ginger Lynn, Jamie Gillis, Nina Hartley, Kitten of course, Lisa DeLove, Eric Edwards and Paul Thomas. I mean, it's very hard to beat that in terms of star-studded erotica.
But if you think about it, it's an Agatha Christie, Murder on the Orient Express. You know, it's always meant to be, you know, packed with stars. Of course, not Peter Ustinov in this one, or Una Chaplin, or
but the equivalent,
you know, the Gil Gadots and, you know, the Kenneth Branaghs.
Definitely.
Although they've had to cancel a few of the ones in the new one, The Murder on the Nile, because one turned out to be a sort of cannibal lover and the other one turned to be an anti-vaxxer. So Disney has a bit of a problem on its hands. So
yeah, these things occur more now than before, I guess.
Anyway, this is a truly, truly bizarre porn film because, you know, the means of killing people off makes for some interesting choices. And people have brought this to our attention and in the without us pointing to it on social media, such as one of the character, Gillis, jerking off using a chicken. Different kind of chicken stuffing.
Yeah.
And you don't want to know what creamy Italian dressing is in this film.
Oh, these jokes are so bad. Oh,
yeah,
God.
And corn dog sharing. Harry Reams looking like he's, you know, filleting a
hot dog
thing. It's and then you have arsenic laced pussy. Ooh. You have point of view shots from inside the vagina. I mean, this my film God. Is a trip. Why don't we begin with a clip from it to give people a kind of a taster of what it is.
I got an ice cube for a heart, but this little lady was melting me down fast. Somewhere in the world, I knew there was a huge scale that was supposed to balance all this shit out. But in the meantime, I figured, what the hell? I stalled her long enough to drive up my price. Then she hit me with the name of the guy, Felix Fitzwillie. Anybody who didn't know him was either buried or had a great disguise as a Waldorf salad. I was about to be taken into the world of fancy clothes and paid-up mortgages, where dames smell like they just came out of the oven.
So if you couldn't tell that was hard-boiled, hardcore detective.
Yeah, it sounded very much like something with Humphrey Bogart or something.
Mickey Spillane kind of thing. Yeah. Yes. With, I have to say, it's... somebody made this comment, I think it's IMDb, but films like this give porn a good name.
Yeah.
And
trying to whitewash the whole thing. Yeah.
It shows, it is possible actually to be funny and sexy at the same time. Because usually, anytime the sex act starts, the plot stops and it's not really there for the plot anyway. But well cast, good humor, well directed competently. Small part of a kitten, again. Because she wasn't doing the hardcore. But it's, again, not porn you'd recommend to your granny if you had one. But it's not, there's no fuck a duck kind of sex scenes to put you off here. But light comedy and the sex is actually quite good. And the acting is solid. So I'd have to recommend it strongly.
And this must have been at the very... End of shooting on 35mm because VHS had obviously already debuted by then.
Yeah,
so they did still some theatrical films.
Yeah, 1982, kind of the last dying days of the golden age of porn, as they call it. Done very good, and again some good acting. You have in addition to Kitten, Randy West. You have Angelique Pettyjohn, Mike Horner. So, and above all, I'd say, it's the dialogue and the sex scenes that make it worthwhile. I mean, the plot is, fairly risible. It's about a detective who's hired to find the perfect breasts that should fill this golden or brass bra. I think another name for the film was sort of the golden bra.
Sounds like the glass slipper from Cinderella.
It's definitely, yes. And he pretty quickly finds that Kitten is that perfect pair of breasts. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But she's reluctant to actually try it on or become part of it. So it's Cinderella sort of with, doesn't give in to trying on the shoe. Right. We've run for a long time, but we have come to the end of the tribute retrospective Kitten theme week with one last film, and again it's in a kind of appropriate ending to why it is that we want to finish with this, called Bodacious Tatas.
Yeah,
it really says that in the title. And we heard a clip from it right at the beginning, which was the director actually, who also doubled as actor and stand-up comedian in it, Paul G. Vatelli, who did a lot of good films. Not all of them were equally good, but he did produce several good porn films before. Apparently he was notoriously bisexual and his career was cut short by an AIDS related illness in 1986.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but Bodacious Tatas is maybe not his finest work, but it does have moments, and the best thing is probably that you get to see Kitten doing what she does best, which is the burlesque work. I mean, in this scene of her on stage, the kind of energy that she puts into it. Again, radio doesn't begin to capture it. You really need to see it, but you understand why she was the incredibly successful burlesque dancer that she was.
Yeah, and the film is kind of a time capsule of the times, isn't it? With real acts on stage.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's not just Kitten up there. Patty Plenty as well. before she actually took on the name, is in it, and some other actors who did the hardcore stuff, not as good. The hardcore scenes aren't by far not the best thing about it. The burlesque scenes are, and I'm not a prude. I like me a good hardcore scene.
Yeah. But
my God, you see Kitten in this and you realize that you wish you'd wanted to have seen her live on stage. Yeah. Not even in her prime. And this is late prime for her. She was in her late, mid to late 40s, I think, when she did this.
Yeah. Incredible. A long career.
Yeah, long career. And she kept it going. I mean, we'll probably get to that because as we're coming to the end of this period in her life, obviously in 1999, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and she had to have a double mastectomy. At which point they realized that her implants were not prosthetic.
Surgical, yeah.
Yeah, they were industrial grade silicone that had been injected. Yeah. Pretty horrifying. So, but she had reconstructive surgery, which actually took her back to her previous size. And she was inducted in the Burlesque Hall of Fame. And if you go on YouTube, you can find clips of her performing. I think it was 2012.
Wow.
So she would be in her 60s, 70s, and, she still has it. But there's no mistaking her humor, her intelligence, and everything that really made her proper eye candy for more than just her big boobs. I mean, she had an incredible, beautiful face, amazing hair, cheekbones to die for, everything. I'm sounding like
And I mean, it's such a shame that we can't see her in the Russ Meyer movies.
Yes. Yes, I mean, hopefully one day, and hopefully give us an excuse to come back to Kitten and talk about her some more.
Yeah.
But, in the meantime, finish with Bodacious Tatas. And if you want to kind of another risky business knockoff, it's about three guys going on a stag do cruise of L.A., ending up in a strip bar, a burlesque place. And girls come home with them. Kitten, smart girl that she is, doesn't get it on with Ron Jeremy, but others do, and instead she has a girl-on-girl scene,
which
is hot enough. So, you don't need any more. And as I said, there's Patty Plenty as well, although she was just Patty Wright back then. And after that, Kitten did go on to do hardcore and everything else that happened, but let's just focus on this funny, sexy phase of her career.
In those days, you had to be ashamed of being burlesque and more ashamed of doing porn. But you know what? People made me feel like shit being a burlesque. So I went ahead and did porn. I go, screw them. I am going to be me. And if they don't like it, they can walk across the street.
And shall we end with playing a little music clip from one of our films? You've been listening to an extended episode of Cult Picks Radio, WCPX 66.6, with me, your favorite host, Django Nudo.
And me, the Smut Peddler.
Until next time, take care.
Get in the groove. Come on and learn a new move. Don't be a square, make it yours. Oh yeah. Get a new shtick. Learn a new trick. Dig a new flick. Make it yours. Get with it, Dad. At least you've been had. And go down the tube. Get with it, Pop. Don't make a flop. Get the chick,
the one with the boo.
You're fresh out of dough. Gotta make a new show. The best way to go, make it yours. We're all on your side. Come along for the ride. Go on and cash in your bride. Come on, Dad. There ain't no place to hide. Make it yours.